It's Wednesday, the 29th of July. I'm Alec Hogg, and welcome to your BizNews Edge. Coming up today, the finance minister blinks on withholding money from delinquent municipalities. Or does he? Press release issued just a few minutes ago, just before noon. We'll have the insight on that in a moment. There's also a survey showing African youth now rate China above America from a foundation whose funding you'll want to know about. The Fed decides later today, and the Common Sense joins us and the market in calling the Reserve Bank's rate hold last week here in South Africa a mistake. And then results season continues on the JSE. HCI widens our Ricardo portfolio's margin of safety, that in the annual report released today. Valterra is raining cash on shareholders, and ArcelorMittal's going the other way entirely. And to close, internationally, Glencore, SK Hynix, and why our US portfolio's star performer ASML has dropped 11% in the past week. Well, let's get into that lead story, and it's a question rather than a triumph. Finance Minister Enoch Godondwana announced today in an online press conference that Treasury will start releasing the withheld July equitable share transfers to municipalities from tomorrow. Basically, what's happened here is that municipalities get a big chunk of cash every month from National Treasury. That's the money that National Treasury budgets for in the national budget, and it is funded by us, the taxpayers. It comes from VAT, it comes from income taxes, and it comes from company taxes mainly. There's a little bit more on property transfers, etc., but that's really where it comes from. So you and I are funding the 240th worst municipality in South Africa and every other one as well. That's the reality of it. Godondwana was trying to send a point. He was at pains, though, this morning to make one thing clear. This release of funds, after he'd actually stopped it, blocked it, to send a message to the errant and corrupt municipalities, is not based on a sudden conversion to competence and honesty by them. Treasury's own assessment found material and continuing weaknesses. Material means sizable. Failures to investigate misconduct, it says, incomplete investigations, disciplinary proceedings that were never instituted against crooks, consequence management simply absent. Well, of the municipalities caught in this net, 28 did absolutely nothing at all in the past month, and yet they're going to get their regular injection of taxpayer money tomorrow, or rather, not tomorrow, on Friday. Here we go, the Republic of No Consequences. The reason given by Treasury? The 30-day clock runs out on Monday, and Treasury won't have poor communities carrying the costs of their officials' failures. Maybe it's time for poor communities to actually see what their officials are doing with the money that they and others in the central pot, or the funders of the central pot, are giving them. Look, Treasury's in a tough position, so fair enough, genuinely difficult to balance those two issues. But the question the tribe will be asking is the obvious one. If the money flows regardless, what was the point of the exercise? Godondwana promises us that there will be stricter conditions for December. We shall see. And now to the African Youth Survey, released this morning, and a number that should make Washington wince. 95% of young Africans now see China positively. For the United States, it's 85%. So 10 percentage points difference. Essentially, they say China has a better influence, is doing better for Africa than the United States is. The US, in fact, is now behind Britain, the EU, India, and Germany. South Africa is the outlier in all of this. There were 16 African countries surveyed. Our young people believe, 58% of them anyway, that America is positive. But that's the lowest of all the African countries surveyed. Remember, the average for those 17 African countries, 16 plus us, is 85%. And our guys look at as a 58% positive. Clearly, the battle between Cyril Ramaphosa and the ambush in the White House by the US president, or the perceived ambush anyway, didn't go down that well with our young people. But the source of all of this matters, and we'll say so plainly. This is the Ishikowitz Family Foundation survey. This foundation is chaired and funded by Ivor Ishikowitz, whose Paramount Group is a major private arms manufacturer selling lots of its arms into the continent. A man with that clientele has an obvious stake in how Africa's great power alignments get read. It's worth holding in mind alongside the data, which is, on any reading, striking. I've been promised an interview with Ishikowitz. Let's see. The arms maker is hardly what you'd call media friendly. Which brings us to interest rates. The Federal Reserve concludes its meeting today, and the expectation is for a fourth straight hold, though, as Bloomberg reported this morning, some market participants are braced for a surprise hike as patience with inflation is wearing thin there. New chairman Kevin Warsh has committed to bringing inflation down without saying how far he'll go. Now, if that were to happen, if the Americans were to raise interest rates, it would pile more pressure on the South African rand. And we've seen that the rand has come under enormous pressure because of what happened last week at our own interest rate setting decision at the South African Reserve Bank. And on that front, the Common Sense editorial board, which is led by Dr. Franz Grenier, has landed squarely where we did last week. The Reserve Bank's decision to hold the repo rate at 7% against near universal expectations of a hike was a mistake. The rand shed almost 3% within hours of that decision. Inflation, measured here in South Africa by the Consumer Price Index, has hit 5%, a two-year high in June. And that's against the SARB's 3% target. So what are you doing? If you've got a target of 3%, you're sitting 60% higher. Yeah, that's what 5% on 3% is. And yet you're not using the tools at your disposal to attack it. As Grenier's team put it, the market will do to the economy what the bank refuses to do with rates, and it'll do it punitively. To the JSE now, and good news for those holding Hosken Consolidated Investment, HCI, which is one of the better performers in the BizNews Ricardo Czar portfolio. Hosken Consolidated's annual report was released to shareholders this morning. It showed income up to 24 billion rand and EBITDA up again. That's the profit, what we used to call operating profit, but it's before depreciation and amortization. So it actually gives you a better feeling of the cash itself. With HCI's gaming, hotels, transport and media businesses were all growing in the past year. Headline earnings fell, but that's really because of a base effect. Last year carried a large one-off investment surplus. What matters in a company like this is the net asset value. And that rose again, and the share has been trading at roughly half the underlying worth, what we call its intrinsic value. That's the number you need to look at to say, is the share cheap or expensive? And if it gets close to intrinsic value, be careful. Maybe it's time to be switching to something that is cheaper in relative terms. We have a 40% margin now on the current share price. And the market noticed that this is surely too high. the shares were up over 2% today on nearly double the usual volume. And then also on the corporate front, on the Stock Exchange News Service this morning, Valterra Platinum, that's the former Anglo Platinum, released its interim results today, and they're spectacular. Headline earnings up more than 1,600%. Revenue almost doubled. Free cash flow moved from 4.5 billion rand negative, in other words, that's what went out, to 25 billion rand positive. What a huge turnaround, a 30 billion rand turnaround. The balance sheet is now in a net cash position, sitting on 24 billion rand in the bank. But the real story is what they did with all that lolly, an interim dividend totaling 57 rand a share has been declared. That's a 70% payout of their profit against the policy of 40. It's 15 billion rand of that 24 that's in the balance sheet. It's going to be handed straight back to shareholders. The market rewarded the stock. Share price up 7% on the news. And the mirror image on the very same morning at ArcelorMittal, South Africa. Its trading statement warns that headline losses for the first half of this year widened by as much as 51% to around 1 rand 30 a share. That's more than the current share price, just in losses, in just in 6 months. Weak domestic demand, high energy and rail tariffs, cheap imports, the same structural vice that we've discussed here before. The shares fell as much as 8% on the news from a very depressed level. Note the contrast with Valterra. There you've got a South African producer handing back 15 billion rand to shareholders. ArcelorMittal deepening its losses while Newcastle plant's fate is still hanging on that IDC rescue deal that we hear about and goes away. We might hear more tomorrow. Full results from Chief Executive Cobus Verster and his team. Well, now to the global scene, and our partners at Bloomberg have got two stories that tell you a great deal about the markets are right now. Glencore, listed on the JSE, and a company that we know very well in at BizNews because of the huge South African contingent who were there, not only the leaders, but throughout that organization, it's having a near record year. But SK Hynix, recently listed on Wall Street, was punished despite record profits. Here are our partners at Bloomberg just a few minutes ago.
Glencore says its trading team made about $3.3 billion in profit during the first half of the year, putting the company on course for one of its best ever years. Based on its first half performance, Glencore is within touching distance of the top end of its annual earnings goal, which is set at $3.5 billion. So 2026 could see Glencore beat its record haul of $6.4 billion, which was back in 2022. Commodity trading houses have reaped big profits as the conflict in the Middle East has dislocated energy markets and the AI boom has fueled metal prices. Glencore shares rose as much as 4%, taking its gains to about 30% this year.
Shares in South Korean chip giant SK Hynix have plunged despite reporting record profits that rose more than 550% from a year ago. Record profit margins and plans for $31 billion of capital expenditure weren't enough to meet sky-high expectations for one of the AI industry's linchpins. Here's Bloomberg Markets reporter Anthony Stevens.
This speaks to where expectations are, right? Like, you have a record OP, it's a 557% jump. They're talking about 80% plus margins, 83. You have a ADR that went into the results with 20% plus premium. And that speaks to the problem here. It's positioning and expectation meeting very high standards is becoming very difficult.
Anthony Stevens was speaking as SK Hynix led another day of sell-offs in chip stocks in Asia. South Korea's KOSPI index has now seen one of the most volatile quarters in history for a major market.
So from the results to what we're expecting from the Federal Reserve, we're expecting to see a hold in terms of interest rates when the central bank concludes its two-day meeting today. But market participants are eyeing the possibility of a surprise hike as patience with high inflation wears thin. Meredith Whitney, the CEO of Meredith Whitney Advisory, isn't, though, expecting a move.
I think they stay on hold and they'll probably still have this tough guy language with this hawkish language that gives them wiggle room. So I think that putting these people on these special task force buys Chairman Warsh time.
Meredith Whitney speaking to Bloomberg. New Fed Chair Kevin Warsh has said that he's committed to lowering inflation, but hasn't indicated whether he supports increasing interest rates to do so. The Fed will release a post-meeting statement at 2 p.m. today in Washington. That's 7 p.m. London time. Then Warsh is scheduled to hold his second post-meeting press conference 30 minutes later.
And that Hynek's reaction leads us straight to our last story for today, because it's the same disease. And it's caught our Ricardo US dollar portfolio's star performer. The share price of ASML, the Dutch company that makes the machines that print the world's most advanced chips, has fallen 11% in the last week. The trigger was a report that an unnamed Chinese firm is close to producing rival machines. Perhaps 20 a year by 2027. That really rates against ASML, who only produce about 150 of these machines annually, but are looking to grow it by 30% in the year ahead. But let's keep perspective. ASML holds 90% of this market and a total monopoly at the sophisticated end. So right at the top, no one comes close. Bloomberg Intelligence reckons China remains 7 to 10 years from matching that technology. As Bloomberg's Lionel Laurent argues in an article that's on BizNews today, these machines are like jet engines, decades of engineering, an ecosystem of suppliers, not something you can reverse engineer in a hurry, even if you are Chinese and have got a good record at that. But two things are worth taking seriously. It's now a question of when, not if, with perhaps a fifth of ASML's sales at stake. And the irony is sharp. The American export controls designed to contain China have taught Beijing precisely what it needed to learn to do without ASML altogether. As one professor told Laurent, that's the classic problem with technology wars. They work for a while, but they teach the adversary exactly what it needs to become independent of you. Counterintuitive, isn't it? Well, that's the BizNews Edge for today, giving you the edge, I believe, not just for the next few hours, but, well, part of the whole lifelong learning journey. I'm Alec Hogg. For more, head to biznews.com. See you tomorrow.